This old world is filled with disappointment and trouble everywhere. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, and with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below, and he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever on that chorus. Oh yes, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever on that chorus once more. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, oh, ever to rejoice.
You may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome to a celebration both of a life but especially of a Savior. For a real life can only be made by a real Savior. And Jesus was that Savior to Juanita Chambers. Let me read to you from the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite books. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we have hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now read these verses following, because Sister Chambers became so dependent on them over the last 3 weeks. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know, listen, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. The last 3 weeks have been really tedious weeks, tremendous sickness on Miss Sister Chambers' part, a lot of suffering. And I won't forget the night we were praying and she was suffering so intently. It was over in the morning, somewhere between 4 and 5. We began to pray, and the Holy Ghost began to anoint me to pray. And then I listened as the Holy Ghost began to anoint her to pray. And we began to pray in that language that only the Father and the Son can understand. The language that Satan cannot interrupt on his way to the throne. And we prayed, and it just like everything turned around. The light in the room even came on. And I said, an angel just turned the light switch on. There was nobody close to the switches. Anyhow, the Lord just became so real. And it just started the whole process of the suffering. This past Saturday, we were fixing to take her back to Presbyterian. And I went over to just sit beside her and hug her a minute. And she said, Dad, I need to hear God talking again. And so we began to pray again. And the Holy Ghost moved. And God began to speak. And she learned the Pentecostal experience was her hope in her dark day and her dark night. And I think that's the greatest testimony I can imagine, is her learning and realizing that the Holy Ghost was her strength in her suffering and her dark time. And, you know, I have no answer for all of it. All I know is he was there, he was real, and we are rejoicing in the realness of this wonderful life. Shall we pray? My Father, we love you with all of our heart. We thank you for the beautiful family of friends and loved ones and people that work with different grandchildren or work with any one of the people who are part of our family. We thank you for every one of them that are here tonight. And we pray that somehow as we celebrate the life of Juanita Chambers, as we worship the God of eternity that makes such a celebration possible, that every life will be affected, that every life will be blessed, that nobody will leave here doubting that the God of heaven is still a supernatural God, and that his mighty Holy Ghost is still wonderful to visit in the heart of his children. And the comfort that he brings is a comfort beyond all human understanding. I can testify that standing here tonight, I am utterly confident in the power of the crucified one, the wondrous joy of his grace, the wonderful love that he offers. Praise God. Praise God.
When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me, saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I've spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me. It's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and gently fade into the sleep of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. No more broken dreams, no more tears to cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me home. Celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home.
I want you to raise a right hand and celebrate Juanita Chambers on the streets of glory, home at last. Think about it. Just celebrate it. Thank you, Father.
Praise God. Mama talked about this time for many, many years, and she was always excited about it. A lot of times we go to church or we do our devotions or whatever, and we talk with people and we're trying to witness with people and we talk about how great it's going to be to see Jesus. And usually the first chance we get, we try real hard not to go, you know, and try to stay alive a little longer. But she was excited about heaven. She's excited about Jesus, and she got to see him. So I know she's happy in the Lord. Because she's happy, we're happy. I've heard a lot of people say when mama's happy, everybody's happy. Yeah. Amen. So mama's happy, so everybody's happy. Amen. We're glad they're. I wanted to say a few words about mom. I was trying to remember back, and I'm 60 already, so my memory's probably, you know, good some days and not so good some other days. But I was trying to think back about our life and what I remembered about mom. And so I spent part of one day trying to think of something bad that I could say too, because, you know, we go to funerals, we usually only tell the good stuff. And I was trying to remember something bad that I could just kind of hint at a little bit. I couldn't really come up with much, because apparently by the time I started remembering things, she was good. And she didn't seem to have any issues. I don't remember anything bad happening at all. I do remember Daddy having to go for walks periodically. And I never could figure out why he went for a walk, why we didn't just settle what was going on, and why go for a walk. But when he came back, everything seemed to be fine. I used to try to figure out, well, why don't Mama go for a walk sometimes? But it just didn't work out that way, and I'm not sure now what happened, but I guess you don't want your imagination to run away with you. But I tried to think about some good things Mama done, and one of the things she taught us as kids, and that I remember specifically, she used to take us with her when she went to do ministry. If you want your kids to love ministry, take them with you to do ministry. I mean, why leave them at home and say, well, I got to do something for God? Take your kids and go do something for God. That's the best way to do it. That's the way she was. And I remember she taught me to love old people and babies. And we went to nursing homes, different places, but I learned to love old people and babies from her. And I tried to instill that in my own kids. And I want to just thank God for my children that learned that very same thing that my mama got either trained in or drilled in or loved into me. Whatever way she got it in, she got it in. And I'm so happy that she taught us that we got to make sure we love older people and that we love babies. Those of you in the middle, you'll just have to wait a little longer for somebody to love you too much. But she just taught us that, and it was just a real blessing to go with her to places. And those of you that knew her knew that she actually could love everybody of any age. And if you wanted to get some love poured out on you, just stop her somewhere and talk to her a few minutes. And she'll pour out some love on you, and you'll feel it. So I was trying to think of something bad, and the only thing I can remember was that Mama taught me that there's three kinds of lies. There's black lies, white lies, and Mama's lies. And you say, what kind of lies is that? Well, one day I remember as a kid, we had a big garden as we was growing up, but sometimes because of pasture salaries and stuff like that, meat could be scarce. Sometimes a loving member would throw a couple chickens on the steps and tie their legs together so they couldn't get off, and we'd come home and Daddy would pluck them. And one time he pulled one chicken's head off and it chased my sister around the yard. I'll never forget that. I just laugh about that every time, and that's been years ago. But of course the chicken didn't have a head, it just happened to go the same way as my sister, but she didn't perceive it that way. And so we'd have to kill the chickens. A good member would have cleaned the chickens and left them in like a bag or something. But we still enjoyed having some meat. Sometimes Daddy'd shoot rabbits and stuff. Mom would make barbecued rabbit. And I think we had some squirrels sometimes, but I never did see a fat squirrel, so I'm not sure what good we got out of that. But I remember one day we was eating, and we had some chicken, and we was all excited. And I had already eaten some chicken, and I looked on the plate, and there was another piece of chicken. I was a growing boy, and I was hungry. And I looked at Mama. She looked at me, and I was trying to be nice, but I was hungry. I was still hungry. And she said, Terry, you go ahead and take that. I'm not hungry. That's when she started teaching me about Mama's lies. When Mama tell you stuff. And you know, when you really think about that, it ain't really a lie, because when she looked at my eyes and I looked in her eyes and she knew I was hungry, all of a sudden she wasn't. Or something like that. It's something that happens with Mamas. I'm a man. I don't understand that stuff. But it happens with Mamas. And she said, I'm not hungry. Another time she said, I'll just take the neck. How much meat have you ever seen on a neck? It's not a lot of meat in it, no brains either. And so she'd say, I just want the neck. And I remember how she used to give and not take so that we could have. And at the time, I just took it because I thought, praise God, she's not hungry and I can get another piece of chicken. But it was later as I started maturing, I realized that was Mama's ways of settling things so she could give to you. And I remember how my mama gave to me like that. And she was always like that. Later on, I learned. And sometimes I'd tell my sisters, because they wasn't old enough yet, and say, no, Mama wants that. Save that for Mama. Don't eat that one. And later we got to where we tried to reverse it. It never worked well, but we tried. But she was always giving. And that's what I've always picked at people and called that. That's the only lies I remember Mama ever saying. And she really didn't mean that as a lie. It was just she wanted me to have that piece of chicken. So I thank God for that. I couldn't. That's about the worst I could tell you. So we're going to have to talk about good stuff, I guess, and these loving words. The best thing my mom ever taught me was about Jesus. She used to love to tell us Bible stories and tell us about Jesus. I found out later in my life that there was a phrase I used when I worshiped, and I used it constantly, and I remembered where I heard it. I heard it first from my mom. When she used to worship God, you would hear her say over and over, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. She would say it over and over. And I used to wonder why she said it over and over. Then a few years later, when I gave my heart to the Lord and when I would be worshiping, I would catch myself saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If you can't say I love you, Jesus, and feel something swelling up in your soul, you need to get closer to God. Because I'm telling you, the love of Jesus was one of the things she always taught us. If she was trying to teach us how to do good instead of bad in some area, she'd always attribute it to, you need to do this because this is what Jesus would do. You need to act like this because this is how Jesus would act. You need to be this way because this is the way Jesus is. You need to love people because Jesus loves people. Everything she tried to teach us, she blamed it all on Him and gave Him the credit and the glory. And I really thank her for teaching me with all of her heart to really love Jesus. And you know, a lot of times we take His name sort of loosely, and we don't really love Him as much as we should. We need to make sure we love Jesus. If you're here tonight and she could preach to you if you meant, she'd tell you, you need to love Jesus. If you don't love Him with all your heart and you don't speak His name with reverence and love and with joy and with great peace and just an expectation from Him, she would encourage you to love Jesus. And that phrase, now that she's gone, I know, I'm sure the rest of my life when I start worshiping the Lord, I say, I love you, Jesus. I remember and hear my mama saying that when she would worship. She really loved to say over and over, I love you, Jesus. I just want to thank God for my mom being a godly person. She was always very modest. She was always very careful with the things she said and done. She always taught us to be the same way. And godly mothers really help children grow up to really know and love the Lord and love Him with all their hearts. And I want to thank my mom for being that way. I want to thank God that He touched her heart. I think she was raised, if I remember right, she was raised in a Baptist church, but she gave her heart to the Lord, and she was a very modest person already. But when she came into the holiness movement and Pentecostal movement, things got stronger and better, and she grew in the Lord even more. She was just a great person, and I love her, and I loved her with all my heart, and she was a good mom. And I'm glad to have been her son. I don't know if I'm her favorite child or not, but I'm pretty close up there, and I just really love her with all my heart. I know many of you loved her, and I just want to praise God that she finally got what she's been waiting on. She's been telling us for years, I can't wait to see Jesus. Can't wait to see Jesus. And she's as far as I believe, she's seen Him. And I believe that she's had some time there. I don't know exactly what goes on up there, but it's good. You'll like it. I guarantee you'll like it better than anything you've ever done. And you'll enjoy seeing Jesus. I know we talk about Him a lot, and we've tried to explain Him, and we've tried to tell people what He's like, but He's going to amaze you when you finally get to meet Him.
Amen.
It's going to be great and wonderful. She's already got to. We're next. Hallelujah. If the Lord comes before tomorrow morning, Daddy wasted the money on all this stuff. It's going to be gone. But if He waits a little later, that's all right. We'll all come out of whatever we're in and go to meet the Lord in the air. And I love Him. Do you love Jesus? Can you say with me just to reverence what Mom taught me? I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Lord when you say that? I know I feel Jesus when I say I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're precious to us. We give you honor and glory. I love you, Jesus. Praise God for good, godly mamas.
Thank you, son. He was intending to tear me up where I couldn't finish nothing else. Hallelujah. I've squalled so many times I didn't know a man could squall. But I've been doing some squalling. I'm kind of expecting more of it. I want to read just a scripture or two before we have a special song. A few days ago, when Mother went to the hospital the second time with a heart attack and a stroke, the doctor came and said, you folks need to wake up and realize this lady is worn out. Her organs are all shutting down. She's not going to be here long. And so I went back to the operating room or the emergency room where Mama was. And I said, hon, let's just talk about heaven. So we started talking about New Jerusalem. We started talking about the streets up there. And I said, Mom, when you are in a casket, that casket is going to have more Holy Ghost in it than any casket in this town. And I believe that. I believe that casket is full of the Holy Ghost and the bones of Juanita Chambers. You say, that's not biblical. Well, you need to read your Bible. That's very biblical. That's very biblical. And I want to tell you something. If the rapture took place right now, if you're not ready to go, I'm ready to go, so I'm going to be following. But if you're not ready to go, you're going to watch her disappear out of that casket. And we'll just, somebody who don't go can call the McEwans and let them come get it and use it for somebody else. But I'm looking for Jesus to come. Are you? Let me read to you about Jerusalem. About Jerusalem. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And she's had a lot of it the last days. No more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when the former things, the earthly things, the things that are all just temporary, they can't last no longer than you can paint your house, and it's got to be painted again in 5 years. Everything about this world is going to pass away. But we're going to a place that never passes away. Do you believe in Jerusalem? How many of you believe in Jerusalem? There is a heavenly Jerusalem, and there is soon to be a new Jerusalem. Hey, let me tell you something about New Jerusalem. It's the one place in God's universe where the devil has never put his feet. The devil has never been allowed to walk through the streets of New Jerusalem.
That's right.
He's been in Old Jerusalem. He really has. He actually can appear before the throne of God. But he's never been in New Jerusalem, because that's the redemptive city. It was prepared for the saints of God. Sing about it.
Lass, last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven answering. I thought the voice of angels from heaven answering. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then I thought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of the cross arose upon angels sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth they seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside
beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who might enter. Or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away.
Say praise the Lord. Thank you, sister, for that lovely, lovely number. Wow. What a privilege this is to be able to stand here tonight and to say a few words over this dear, precious saint of God, Sister Juanita Chambers. In Malachi 3:17, the Bible says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Now we know, in the strictest sense of the word, that the prophet Malachi is looking forward to the catching away, the rapture.
Yes, sir.
Don't want to talk to you about the rapture, though. I want to talk to you about one of his precious jewels.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The word jewels means a special treasure. And as this verse indicates, the special treasure belongs to the Lord. They are his. The devil can't lay claim to him.
Gotcha.
Sister Chambers is his tonight. In biblical times, as even in the present time, various jewels and precious stones were held in high esteem. They were expressive of wealth, especially before the use of coins. And they were often used as a standard of value. We read of Jehoshaphat, where he gave his sons great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things. One of the more familiar passages in the Bible that refers to precious stones is Revelation 21, where John speaks of the gems from which the New Jerusalem,
yes, sir,
that is being talked about in great detail here tonight, that city is constructed and built with these precious stones. Now, those precious minerals that he speaks of are common to this earth. So we know that the New Jerusalem is a literal place. One of these days, we're going to walk with Sister Chambers down streets of gold. We'll walk through gates of pearl, and we will see those walls of jasper. Hallelujah. We read in Revelation 21 about this city, and the building of the wall was of jasper, And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And this is what I want you to notice. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I like what J.A. Sice wrote in the Apocalypse. He said of the New Jerusalem, it is clean and pure and bright as a transparent icicle in the sunshine. John describes it, he says, as having the glory of God. Glory is brightness, luster, splendor. And this city has and is invested with the glory, light, brightness, and radiating splendor of God. Hence, the brightness is like a most precious jasper stone. A jasper stone is wavy with the various colors of the rainbow, but it is opaque. This city has this jasper appearance, but without the opacity. It is like a most precious jasper stone, crystal clear, perfectly transparent, like a diamond of rock crystal. It is like a giant, flawless diamond sparkling in the sky. The Bible says that the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I like to think of the interior of the city being garnished with precious stones, precious jewels also. And these precious stones will be the saints of God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And they shall be mine,
yes,
saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now, when it comes to precious gems and precious stones, there are three factors that determine the value of a stone: rarity, durability, and brilliance of beauty. Diamonds are among some of the most sought after gems. Diamonds are rare. I read where approximately 250 tons of ore must be mined and processed in order to produce one single 1-carat diamond. Only one polished diamond in 1,000 weighs more than 1 carat. Diamonds are rare. They are durable. They're known as the hardest of all gemstones. Diamonds radiate brilliance. A perfectly cut diamond flashes and sparkles with fire and light. Now, Sister Chambers is one of God's jewels, a precious diamond gem. She was a unique individual. She had a rare faith, a faith that totally trusted in her God. I would say she even had a rare sense of humor. I believe she wholeheartedly believed Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. She was unique. She was rare in that respect. She was durable. Even though diamonds are the hardest of all gemstones, they are very simple in composition. It is made out of simple carbon, just like the lead of a pencil. But elemental forces of heat and pressure far beneath the surface of the earth miraculously transform simple carbon into a diamond. Now, Sister Chambers was exposed to intense pressures during her life. I thought about her physical condition as a diabetic. She suffered with diabetic for many, many years. But I tell you, she suffered graciously and always with a Christ-like spirit. And then there were the pressures of being a pastor's wife and representing the man of God and the woman of God and the church, and most of all, representing Jesus Christ, and the pressures that she experienced as being a pastor's wife. But I'll tell you about Sister Chambers. She never wavered.
That's right.
She never caved.
Yes, sir.
She remained the same.
Yes, sir.
From the day that I knew her till the day she went to heaven.
That's right.
Thank God. The hardships she endured produced one of the Lord's finest gems. Like the many facets of a diamond reflecting the sunlight, she reflected the light of the Son of God. She was indeed a beautiful, beautiful person. A beautiful saint of God. Now, there are four factors that determine a diamond's worth. They call it the four C's. The cut of a diamond, the clarity, the color, and the carat weight. When a diamond is properly cut, its beauty is maximized. And that's the way it is with a saint of God. There must be some trimming and cutting that takes place. Now, Brother Terry said it right, you know, about his mom. You know, just, I don't know of anything bad about Sister Chambers. But I'm sure there may have been some things that she knew about that maybe we don't know about. You know, Jesus said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. Now, he wasn't teaching self-mutilation, but what he was teaching is if there is anything that is a hindrance to our spiritual growth, then cut it off.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of it. Paul wrote, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and there's a list of things there. And then he said, put on the new man. Though through all the cutting and the trimming, the Lord had Sister Chambers shining and sparkling, and we could enjoy the beauty of this precious diamond, this precious saint of God. Clarity is simply the state of being clear. In relation to diamonds, it means flawless. Clarity refers to a diamond's natural marks or inclusions, they are called. And those are imperfections in a diamond. Some inclusions are visible to the naked eye, while others you have to see through magnification. And they say that there are six grades of diamonds from imperfect to flawless. Now, we know that there has only been one flawless or perfect individual, and that is the Christ that Sister Chambers served. But I'll tell you, Sister Chambers rates near the top of the grading scale.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And then the color. Diamonds with less color are referred to as white, and they are the ones who are that are the most desired, the most beautiful, and the most valuable. Sister Chambers was a pure person, uninfluenced and untainted by the things of this world. She reflected the wholesome character that is inherent in a sanctified saint of God. She is one of those arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And then there is the carat weight. Larger diamonds are not found too frequently, and that makes them more valuable since they are so rare. In Malachi 3:17, the prophet said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." And in the verse previous to that, he said, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Those that feared the Lord and those that thought upon his name, they spoke often of him one to another. That's the kind of Christian that Sister Chambers was. She was like Tabitha in the book of Acts, a woman full of good works and alms deeds. She was obedient to 1 Timothy 2:10, and she adorned herself with good works. Not the artificial adornment of this world, but she adorned herself with the good works of a saint of God. She was charitable. Now, there's a bunch of preachers here tonight, and you ought to be shouting amen to what I'm about to say.
Amen.
We never, ever left her home without a care package.
That's right. Amen.
Never. One of my favorites was yeast rolls with a slight slice of tenderloin in it.
Yes.
And she'd always put two or three in there for me, and maybe a slice of cake, and she would always put a Pepsi Cola or something to go with it. Never did I leave without that. Or she always had a jar of pickles or a jar of that homemade jam. Charitable. In the local church, she labored. I mean, on that back of that program, just look at the many ways in which she labored. She taught in the school. She helped Brother Chambers with the radio program. At camp meetings, she was leading the ladies in the kitchen. She tended to and fed evangelists and the many guests that were in their home. And there was the fellowship of the saints. She loved the saints of God. And because of her good works, she will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." As a flawless, glittering diamond, she now adorns the holy hills of heavenly Jerusalem, awaiting the arrival of her many friends and loved ones. Let's don't let her down. Let's make it. And let's be faithful unto the end. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, how we thank you for the life of this precious saint of God, Sister Chambers. We love her dearly. I pray heaven's greatest blessings to rest now upon her family, upon Brother Chambers and her children and grandchildren. Bless the friends, Lord, that have gathered to honor her and that have come to honor the Christ that she serves. And bless her memory to our hearts and help us too to become one of those precious jewels so that one day we can meet her again. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, and I'm that river to where my faith shall end inside, and there's just a few more days to labor. And I will take my heavenly flight. Oh, Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and that river to where my faith will end in sight, for there's just a few more days to labor.
many intend to be there? Let me see your hand. All but the family. I want them to remain seated if they desire, but the rest of you would stand. Listen, church, I must take just 2 or 3 minutes to tell you that this man had the privilege of being married to one of the greatest women. I've read books by the tons. I've reviewed material from the church world back all the way to the early church fathers. Among the Reformation leaders, I've read books with all my being through these years, but I've never read of a woman that was purer than this woman. Her love for me was overwhelming, but I loved her just as devotedly. She did all those little things that were just so overwhelming. Who can find a virtuous woman? I really wanted to read a lot of that, but I won't bore you with that. Hope you'll read the last chapter of Proverbs when you get home. But she was all those things, and she was precious for me. We were laying in the bed about 12 o'clock a few weeks ago, and I'd been wrestling with a word, Brother Terry, that I couldn't pronounce to save my life. And I said, honey, you know how you've helped me through the years. I didn't have any phonics, and I was tongue-tied when you married me. And you had to help me learn to say all the phonics and learn all the things about good English. And I said, I got to have some help with that word. And it was midnight now. I didn't think about it till later. And I said, help me with that word. And we laid there and practiced that word until I got it perfect. At midnight, she has taught me hundreds and thousands of words like that. So I was tongue-tied when she married me, terribly so. A high school dropout, you know. But she was just my teacher, and she was my sweetheart, and I cared for her as much as I think she cared for me. That probably would be argued by some, but I, with all my heart, I cared about her, and I loved her. Came home of the day she's in the hospital, and Krista was fixing me some breakfast, and she had some strawberries on the plate, and I reached and got one of them, and it still had the green on it, the grass, and the core had never been cut out of it. And I said, Krista, why did you fix my strawberry right? She said, what are you talking about, Papa? I said, Mama always cut the core out of my strawberries. I never had a strawberry in my life with a core in it. Not that she fixed for me. You say, did she spoil you that bad? Yes. I didn't realize it was being spoiled. I just thought it was love, you know. But those are things, and I could tell you so many of them. My mind has been racing while I've been squalling for days now since Sunday. Because I know what I have. I don't think I realized it as much as I do tonight. Anybody else ever had that problem? Didn't realize what you had till you didn't have it? At least didn't have it in your hand. My wife was a virtuous woman. She would catch me sitting up here, and I would somehow slip one of my legs up, my britches like that, and she'd see some of the leg, and she'd get me, Daddy, you don't sit up there on that pulpit with part of your leg showing. Can you believe that? That was my wife. That was my wife. She went out of the house the other day for me to take her to the hospital. And I said, honey, you don't have your hose on. I'm not able to put them on this morning, Dad. First time I remember her going out of the house without her hose. I mean, you're talking about a godly woman. And I just want to celebrate her tonight. And I want you to help me celebrate her. I want to do something different. We'll be through in just a minute. So please give me a moment. Brother, you got that mic, brother? I want about 10 people to get one sentence. Now, you can't do but one sentence. And I want Brother Joe to bring you the mic and let you say that sentence. He's going to hold the mic because I know people. I know people in Pentecost, you give them a minute and they'll take a mile, you know. And I'm not going to let you do that because I want 10 people. Go quickly. Find somebody with their hand up. Somebody with their hand up. Quickly.
She could sit on a mattress and know that there was a pea under it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's listen. Quickly.
Us preachers are going to have to find a place to pray, get on our face and hear from God, because we won't have notes from Sister Chambers for our messages anymore.
That's a good one.
She was a living example of holiness.
Isn't that beautiful? Quickly, somebody else. Some of the family want to participate. One of the grandbabies. You know, yeah, way over here. Just one sentence now. Hallelujah.
I just want to say that my son Bryce been at PCCA since the age of 2. And from day one, Mama Chambers has treated him like she was her own grandchild. And for that, I will always love her and keep her in our hearts.
Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? He did that for all of them. You see, we're just celebrating. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. She was just a priceless woman. A priceless woman.
Sister Chambers taught me how to read, and she was one of the best storytellers. She'd tell awesome stories.
Tell awesome stories. And we're not talking about, when we call stories pills, we're talking about these beautiful. She could tell a story and make you know it was real. Hallelujah.
She represented God in everything she did. My son is a student for Paul Creek Christian Academy, and she took one look at him, and she saw the beauty in him, and I'll be always thankful for that.
Hallelujah.
I was her favorite evangelist.
Only Brian McDonald would dare say that.
She always would encourage me, and I always looked at her and I said that Mother Chambers, and I said Mother Chambers, and she said, "You called me Mother." And then whenever I would have to preach, and she said, "Now, okay, you made the grade today, so you're going to be all right."
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know there's all kinds of hands. I don't want to miss anybody, but we must close in just a moment.
Sister Chambers, last advice to me when I come from the altar and turned around and gave her a hug, she said, "Keep on working. Keep on working.
Keep on working. Keep on working." Hallelujah. When all of you say with me, we celebrate a saint of God who's joined the great happy ceremony number on the other side. Would anybody make a motion that we transfer her to the heavenly church? Have a motion that we transfer her to the heavenly church. Do I have a second? We have several seconds. All in favor, would you raise your right hand? She's now with the Lord. Hallelujah. I think she's up there getting things ready for me. Hallelujah. I want to believe that. God bless you. God bless you. Singing. I'll meet you in the morning. I'll meet you in the morning, and then we'll pray. Remember, the internment is tomorrow in Gastonia at the Gaston Memorial. I forget the last word they call it. Gaston Memorial on... And it's very easy to find. Go 85 to the New Hope Road. Turn left. It's about a mile on your left. You can't miss it. Singing.
I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long, dreary day. I'll meet you in the morning.
In the morning.
With a
how do you do?
And we'll sit down by the river, and with rapture. the sweet by and by, and exchange the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments, and nobody shall die in that land ere the sun goeth down. Yes, I'll meet
with you in the
morning.
Up.
How do you do? And we'll sit down by the river, and with rapture old acquaintance renew. And you'll know me in the morning by the smile.
Father, we come to the close of this special occasion. We've celebrated the life of this precious saint. We have sought to encourage everybody here to follow her example. We've sought to give them scripture and not just talk of her, but talk of her in the light of Christ, in the light of the scripture, the light of the hopes of the Christian faith. Love my family. Love my children. Love my grands. Love Juanita's sisters that are here. Love my sisters that are here. Love our families. We have beautiful families. We have faithful young people. And I believe you to love every one of them. Watch over them and care for them. And make yourself real to them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, since we're not going, of course, to internment at this time, we're just going to dismiss you. My family will remain here close to the front. You can let them know your love. If you did not pay your respect to Juanita, we welcome you to do that. God bless you. Would you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Be friendly. Be kind. God bless you.